Happy Tuesday! My name is Alan.
And my name's Nick.
And welcome
into the dungeon. So here we are at the very start of a brand new campaign, Season 2 of Into the Dungeon. We're playing something new. We're moving away from D&D 5th Edition for this campaign. And we're going to be going over what it is we're going to be playing, how it works, what tweaks we've had to do to make it playable for two players, because as you will soon discover, this is actually an adventure for one person, so we've adapted it for two. We're going to go over the mechanics and how the game works, and then we're going to roll up our characters, give you a bit of background as to who we'll be playing, what our stats will be. We'll be doing that live at the time of recording, and we will also be ending with the first page of the adventure to give you a little teaser of what's to come in the weeks to follow.
Looking forward to it.
So what exactly are we playing?
We will be playing Lone Wolf. As some of you may know, is a collection of 31 gamebooks. They are similar to the Choose Your Own Adventure gamebooks.
Yeah, those were popular when we were kids, weren't they?
Yeah. And these were created by Joe Dever and initially illustrated by Gary Chalk.
That's quite a good name for an artist.
Yeah, if you're a chalk artist, that is. But the series began publishing in July 1984.
Wow, that's older than we are.
Yeah, we weren't even born. And it became one of the most popular gamebooks ever published, selling more than 11 million copies worldwide, I'll have you know.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're not going to be playing all 31 gamebooks in this campaign, but a little bit more on that later on. And the story focuses on the fictional world of Magnamund, where the forces of good and evil fight for control of this planet in a final showdown. Sounds pretty epic to me. The protagonist is the Lone Wolf, the last of his cast of warrior monks, known as Kai Lords. As most Choose Your Own Adventure books, the series is written in the second person, and it's going to recount Lone Wolf's adventures as if we are the main character or characters. And as the Lone Wolf, or Lone Wolves, I should be saying, because we have tweaked this, as you will imagine, to be able to run as a duet. But I'm getting ahead of myself, a little bit more on that later on. So as the Lone Wolves, we will be making choices at regular intervals throughout the story, which then changes the course and the final outcome of the book.
Each of the books in the series can be read or played separately, but they are actually designed in such a way that knowledge and items obtained in an earlier book can be carried over and used in later ones. So it's kind of like, I mean, an RPG, a TTRPG, D&D, where whatever you get in the adventure, in the one shot or whatever, carries over to the next one. Each book has a unique player's objective, but the plot carries on chronologically where the previous book ends.
And that's what we're intending to do here. We're going to be playing the first book, which is Flight from the Dark. Hopefully we will survive it and we'll be able to move on to the next book in the series. So what is a game book for you younger people that have grown up playing video games and not playing game books like Alan and I did back in the day? Before computer games, there were these things called game books, and it's kind of an interactive novel which allows the reader to participate in the story as if we were the hero. Usually with these game books, the story branches along different paths using numbered paragraphs called sections, and at the end of each section, you're usually given a choice. So for example, if you want to fight, you know, turn to page X or section X. If you want to flee, instead turn to page X. Ultimately, our choices will be determining the tale, and you know, it's written in a way as well that each book can be played multiple times with different paths being charted.
So I think Lone Wolf, the series, was kind of special at the time, right? It kind of did something unheard. An interactive kind of fiction where the entire series, book after book, was all set in the same world, like part of the same epic saga. And the lore expanded further and further with each new adventure that they released. As we mentioned before, you could carry on over with your skills, your weapons, the items that you found. And when you were done with the whole series, it was one continuous epic narrative.
Yeah, so like you said before, it's almost like a merge between a choose-your-own-adventure book and an actual game system, because there's a combat system, there's an inventory system, there's gold that you acquire as well, or crowns as they're known in this game.
And there's no real rolling, per se, but there is a random chart that you need to reference when you want to roll with battles and all that.
So yeah, looking forward to that. And as you've alluded to there, there are battles, and those battles will have random results, so every playthrough will be different and more like a TTRPG, as you were saying before. Now, unlike a role-playing game, Lone Wolf can be played alone, and pretty much at any time, anywhere, as you've said, without dice, tools, or even paper. If you're playing this in the paperback version, all your character sheets and all your inventory management, your random chart numbers, they're all contained within the actual book itself. So yeah, as we said before, The Lone Wolf is set in the fantasy world of Magnemund. It follows the adventures of the lone survivor. As we've said, we are going to be playing the lone survivors, plural, of the ancient caste of warrior monks, the Kai Lords, who were the sworn protectors of the realm of Summerland and masters of many natural and supernatural abilities. Al mentioned before there's loads of books, which are comprised of 5 series, each of those series containing a complete storyline. So our new adventure into the dungeon is going to be the Kai series.
The first 5 books, basically. They chart the Lone Wolves' efforts, or Lone Wolves in this case, to thwart the invasion of their homeland and bring Vonator, the traitor responsible for the death of the Kai Order, to justice. As we've been alluding to, this is really a single-player game, meant to be played by one person, but here at Into the Dungeon, as the name implies, we are a duet, and we try to run games as a duet. With D&D and the previous campaign, The Dragon of Icespire Peak, check that out if you haven't, we set out to prove that you could play a whole campaign of D&D just with 2 players, without a big party. In this case, we want to try and play a single-player game with 2 players. So that entails having to tweak it slightly, and there are certain changes that we will have to make to enable us to play this as 2 players. For a start, we will be playing as Lone Wolves, as we've said. We will be 2 brothers. I will be playing the younger brother, Toring, and Nick will be playing the older brother, Lundar. We've been reading about the lore of the Lone Wolf. At the end of the day, we know that it's a very loved series, and it has a big following, and a lot of hardcore followers too, so we don't really want to do it a disservice. We've been trying to read about it, and we found out that the Lone Wolf was actually named Lunder. We know that he had a brother and a sister, a brother that perished in a river trying to save him, but to make it work for us, we had to work in a new brother that would have gone to the monastery with him. And as I say, it's our take on this. There's certain things we're going to have to tweak to make it work for us, but we're trying to keep it as true to the lore as possible.
So yeah, on that note, let's give a little bit of a description of the brothers we're going to be playing. I'm playing Lando, the older of the two, and he's about 6 foot tall, broad-shouldered, quite muscular, but very worrisome. He cares deeply for Torin, particularly after already having lost a brother at a young age. So he's going to be overprotective of Torin and, you know, try to keep him in check and make sure he doesn't get into trouble. He's always looking out for his back and he's there as his protector, but quite anxious and quite nervous about taking any big risks that he thinks could put his sibling in danger. He's got long hair tied up in a ponytail with some wisps or bangs, however you call it, sort of coming down past the ears. You can see our characters anyway on the thumbnail for our Twitter posts. And he's got these emerald green eyes as well.
Toring is quite different from his older brother. He's the youngest. He's more brash, a bit more abrasive, also a bit braver. He would dive head into trouble before thinking much of it. He's shorter though, not as built as his elder brother. And he's more inclined to use magic rather than strength and weaponry. But we'll probably discuss that a bit further in.
Yeah, as we go choosing our powers and stats and that.
Yeah.
It's going to be funny if you end up rolling higher than me for the endurance points.
Yeah, we'll see.
So yeah, what else have we changed to make this playable as two players? We are doubling the endurance point of enemies so that they're harder to kill, given that there's two of us.
I'd interject here and say that the endurance point, for those that haven't played, are pretty much the health points of the enemies. If that wasn't clear, yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. We're also going to be doubling the rations and crowns, which are the currency of the game. Just so that, you know, if we get to a point where we need to buy items or eat food, that there's enough to cater for two players. And we think that's balanced out by doubling the endurance points of the enemies. We'll also double any items of use as long as they're not named or are key to the story. We haven't played this before, so we don't know if there are, but we're assuming that there could be, you know, like magical swords or magical staffs, etc. In that case, we'd only find one. We won't do something that potentially breaks the game. Although the likelihood is it will at some point break. But yeah, this campaign's a bit of an experiment for us. As Al said before, we've had some success in playing a full-blown party adventure for D&D as just a duet, and now we're trying the inverse. We're trying to run a one-player game as a duet. In this game as well, we'll have to pick our Kai disciplines, and there's more information on that coming very soon. In a nutshell, it's sort of the powers or the perks that the character has. Now, as this is written for one player, a player would typically pick 5 from the 10 available, but we've decided that we're going to select a total of 5 between us. Because otherwise, you know, Al could pick 5, I could pick 5, and we've basically covered every power available in the game. So that's a way that we think we can minimize the risk of breaking the game. Also, if one brother drops to 0 endurance points and the other survives the encounter, just on the first time, what we'll do is that the downed brother will be deemed to be unconscious instead of dead, which typically would end the adventure if you're playing solo, and they will regain consciousness with just 1 endurance point.
This is more to kind of mitigate the problem of us being a podcast and obviously one of us dying very, very early on and then it being just one of us playing the game. But we don't want to do it to a point where you can kind of regain consciousness every time you die, but at least whilst we're getting to grips with the game and how it works and the rules and all of that, then give us a bit of, you know, leeway whilst we learn the mechanics.
And I think one of the big changes we're doing is that before deciding what page option to take or what power to use, because sometimes, you know, the options available to you will be dependent on those Kai disciplines you have. We are an actual play TTRPG podcast with a strong emphasis on storytelling and role-playing. So we will be playing this book as the brothers themselves, so we'll be role-playing those decisions as and when they come at us, so that we take a decision based on those interactions. So it'll be in character, what would Torin and Landar do? How would they discuss the options ahead of them? What would they want to do? What wouldn't they want to do? And we'll base it on those interactions rather than what Nick and Al think is the best way to go forward in the book.
This is a big reason why we actually chose to play as two brothers or two players in this single player game, because we could have just gone with me reading the book and then Nick choosing the pages and then just me reading the book again or vice versa. But we thought that that would lack the narrative side and the storytelling side, which us as a podcast, apart from being the duet that we are, we enjoy and we like to push the narrative, the storytelling part. So we are an actual play, narrative-focused podcast, duet style.
Yeah. So as you've said there, there is a lot of narration. At the end of the day, we are playing an adventure book. And what we're going to be doing is we'll be taking it in turns to narrate the pages of the book. We haven't decided on an exact formula yet. We'll sort of see how it flows and settle into it as we go along. But that way, if somebody dies, at least the other one of us can carry on with the narration. And it won't seem so jarring where, you know, somebody's been narrating and that person dies and now they are narrating. So it'll be a back and forth between us. So now on the how to play this book. As we said before, we're going to be creating our characters live here as we're recording. Obviously, it won't be live to you. This isn't a live stream. It's a recorded episode. But we're going to be creating Landar and Torin here as and when we go through this handbook that we found, which is designed to help newer players become familiar with the rules for the game books. And this is available for free on the Project Aeon website, as in fact is the entire gamebook series, which is what we're using for this podcast campaign. And you can find these at www.projectaeon, that's projectaeon.org.
They are our website devoted to spreading the Lone Wolf to the masses. Joe Deva, the creator of Lone Wolf, generously offered to allow some of his books to be published on the internet and to be downloaded free of charge. And we'd like to end this section before we actually start the game and start creating our characters with Joe Deva's quote, where he said, "I would be especially pleased if my granting of the rights to distribute my books in this way was seen as my millennium gift to all those devoted readers who have kept the Kai flag flying high through all the good times and the not so good. It would make me very proud indeed if this enterprise laid the foundations of Lost in Legacy, securing the longevity of Lone Wolf by making my creation freely and readily accessible to current and future online generations. For them, for us, for Summerland and the Kai!"
Oh, you got me all hot and excited now.
So there we go. We are trying to do a part to deliver Joe Deva's vision.
So on that note, let's delve into the rules and our character creation. We need to keep track of our adventure on an action chart. And we're doing this on a fillable PDF, which has been kindly provided by Magnamund.com. And here we are at the very beginning. So during our training as a Kai Lord, we've developed our fighting prowess, which is our combat skill, and our physical stamina, our endurance. Now, before we set off on our adventure, we need to measure how effective our training has been. Now, if we were playing on the physical books, we'd be doing this by taking a pencil and with our eyes closed, pointing with the blunt end of it on that random number table that Al was talking about before. But as we're playing along with the Project Aeon HTML version of the books, they also have this very handy interactive random number table where we just need to click on it and voila, we get our random number. Very handy. So the first number that we have to pick represents our combat skill. We need to add 10 to the number we pick and write the total in the combat skill section of our action chart, and that essentially becomes our combat skill score.
This is what dictates further on how much damage we'll do in combat and all that.
Yeah, so let's do this. The first rolls of a brand new campaign on Into the Dungeon.
Let's see if the curse of Shrew follows us into this one and I start rolling like crap.
Actually, it's quite funny because sort of segueing ever so slightly from this episode zero, we played a one-shot D&D campaign from their new magazine. We played this during the weekend and Big Al was thrust into, or rather peer pressured into running that one-shot for us. And I played the pre-generated halfling and my god, I don't think I rolled higher than a 7 all day.
Yeah, your rolls were terrible. And you actually did what I did in the first campaign of Shu and his shrubberies, where I rolled a 1.
Oh yeah.
Then you could roll again because you had the halfling luck and you rolled another 1. So yeah, the curse of the halflings could very well be. But anyway, let's continue on. This is a new campaign.
We are not halflings. We're human. So hopefully we'll be rolling well. So how are we going to do this? Who's going to roll first?
I'll say you.
Oh no. I'm feeling the pressure now. So here we go. We're on Project Aeon's random number generator.
The highest you can roll is a 9 and the lowest is a 0.
Yeah, so whatever I roll, I need to add a 10 to, and that is my combat skill. Come on, 9.
Oh, it's not good. Not quite.
Oh, it's not good.
Not quite.
That's a 2.
That's a 2. It's not... yeah, it's terrible. It's pretty terrible.
So here we go. Okay. My combat skill is a grand total of 12.
Okay. The big brother should be the one killing all the baddies. Let's see what I roll. Okay, not bad.
Not bad at all.
7, so 17 total.
Looks like Torin's going to be the better fighter of the two.
Yeah, I'm going to be carrying you.
So now we move on to our endurance. To get this, we add 20 to the number we pick, and we write the total in the endurance section of our action chart. So basically, this represents our health, as Al was saying before. If we're wounded in combat, we lose endurance points. If at any time our endurance points fall to zero or below, we are dead and the adventure is over. However, as we mentioned earlier, we've slightly tweaked this rule, so if one brother drops to zero endurance points and the other survives the encounter, and the first time only, the down brother will be deemed to be unconscious and will regain his consciousness with one endurance point. Important to note that lost endurance points can be regained during the course of the adventure, but our number can never go above our starting score, which we're going to determine right now. All right, here I go. I need higher than a 2 this time, please.
Okay, good luck.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Maximum endurance points.
Nice.
29.
Nice.
So I'm not good at fighting, but I can take punishment.
Good, good. That's good. You're a meat shield.
Over to you.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did it. I rolled a 0, the first 0. So, yeah, pretty much 20. I don't have more endurance points. I'm a hard hitter, but I'm a squishy. I'm a little squishy younger brother.
Wow, first 0 of the campaign. We'd initially thought, actually, it might be worth saying here, we'd thought of maybe rolling a d10 instead of using one of these generators, but we realized that not all the numbers are equally distributed in the grid, so there's more chance of getting certain numbers than others. I tried to do some crazy math with different dice variations and my head started to hurt. And I was stupid because I hadn't realized at the time that there was this nifty little number picker built into Project Aeon. So there we have it. We now have our endurance points and our combat rating, or rather our combat skill. Just to recap, Landar has a combat skill of 12 and 29 endurance points. And Torin has a combat skill of 17 and 20 endurance points.
That now leads us on to choosing our Kai disciplines. Over the centuries, the Kai monks have mastered the skills of the warrior. These skills are known as the Kai disciplines, and they are taught to all Kai lords. We are Kai initiates, which means that between us, we have learnt only 5 of the skills. Once we have chosen the 5 disciplines, we'll input them into the discipline section of our action chart, which is basically the player character sheet. So as we are choosing 5 and it's only 2 of us, if you're good at maths, then you'd know that 5 divided by 2 doesn't really go, so you have a remain. Anyway, whatever. One of us has to choose 3, the other one has to choose 2. So to decide who chooses 3, we're going to roll for it. The person that rolls higher using this random chart gets to take 3 disciplines. So you want to go first, Nick?
All right, I'll do the honors. Here we go.
This time, roll low.
Oh, max again. That's another 9.
2 in a row. Okay. Can't really beat this.
No, but you can force a reroll.
Yeah. Whoa, not quite. That's a 4. So Nick will be choosing 3 discipline points and I'll be choosing 2. So let's do 1 each. You start as you'll be choosing 3 and then I'll go.
All right. So just before we do that, I'm just going to read over the choices we've got. There's not too many. There's a total of 10, as I said before. So before we pick them, we're going to go through the Kai disciplines available to us, just so you understand what options are available and what they do. And I think it's important as well to say that we're going to be picking our disciplines based on the characters and the kind of little, not a backstory per se, but the personalities we've given them. So there's the discipline of camouflage, which, you know, self-explanatory. It allows the Kylo to blend in with his surroundings, so you can hide undetected amongst trees, rocks, pass close to enemies without being seen, etc. There's also hunting. This skill ensures that a Kai Lord will never starve in the wild. He'll always be able to hunt for food, except in areas of wasteland and desert, which makes sense. So this is clearly a very useful skill.
Here it's good to know that if one of us chooses this, when they look for food, they would be doing it for both of us.
Yeah, that's correct. That's an example of the doubling of those resources. So an important thing here to note is that when you're instructed to eat, because we can only eat when the book tells us we can, there's no need to have a meal in our backpacks. It means I can hunt and procure food for both of us if I end up picking that. But yeah, I think this skill is tickling my fancy a bit because I think it also gives us a good opportunity for role-playing as well.
Hmm. Yes.
There's also the discipline of sixth sense. and this can warn a Kai Lord of imminent danger. Can also reveal the true purpose of a stranger or a strange object whilst encountered in the adventure.
What objects will we encounter?
You'll have to stay tuned and find out.
Interesting.
The fifth discipline is the skill of tracking, which enables you to make the correct choice of path in the wild and to discover location or a person, an object, or read the secrets left behind in footprints or tracks.
The next one would be healing, and this discipline can be used to restore endurance points lost in combat. If one of us chooses this discipline, we can restore one endurance point for every numbered section of the book we pass.
Yeah, as long as we're not involved in combat, yeah?
That's right. And this can only be used after our endurance has fallen below its original level, so obviously you can't go above what we already have. Then we have weapon skill, and upon entering the Kai Monastery, each initiate is taught to master one type of weapon. If weapon skill is to be one of our disciplines, we have to pick a number in the usual way from the random number table as we've been doing, and this is the weapon which we would have a skilling. So there's a number of weapons numbered from 0 to 9. You have a dagger, a spear, a mace, a short sword, a warhammer, a sword, an axe, a sword, quarterstaff, and a broadsword. So you've got like 4 swords actually. And
yeah, as you notice there's 2 opportunities to get the normal sword. There's a short sword, the broad sword, but there's also 2 opportunities to get the sword. I wonder why.
I don't know, but I think I read somewhere that the updated versions of this book do away with the second sword, the normal sword, and add a short bow.
Oh, that's in the next series, in the Magna Kai.
Oh, right. Okay. So yeah, if one of us chooses this, then we would have to roll for one of these weapons. But this would not mean that we set out the adventure carrying that particular weapon you are proficient with. However, we will find opportunities to acquire the weapons in the course of our adventures. Also important to note that we can only carry 2 weapons each.
Yeah, that's important. There's more information coming shortly as we discuss how the inventory and equipment system works for this game.
Then we have Mind Shield. So the Dark Lords and many of the evil creatures in their command have the ability to attack using their mind force.
Like a Jedi.
Yeah. The Kai discipline of Mind Shield prevents us from losing any endurance points when subjected to this form of attack. So basically, you'd be immune to mind force attacks. Then we have Mind Blast, and this in turn enables a Kai Lord to attack an enemy using the force of their mind. It can be used at the same time as a normal weapon attack, and it adds an extra 2 to the combat skill. So we'll go over the combat skill and how it works later, I believe. But yeah, that's Mind Blast. It's basically a kind of attack we can do. Some creatures we'll find will be immune to this. Then we have Animal Kinship, and this enables a Kai Lord to communicate with some animals and to be able to guess the intentions of others. So similar to a druid in D&D. And then last but not least, you have Mind Over Matter. Mastery of this discipline enables a Kai Lord to move small objects with his powers of concentration. Again, similar to the Jedi.
So yeah, we need to pick 5 between us. And if we survive this first book, we are able to add a further Kai discipline of our choice when we commence the next one.
So as I said, you go first, Nick, and I'll take it from there.
All right, here we go. As we said before, we're going to try and pick these in line with the personalities of our characters.
Yeah, so talk us through it as you go picking them.
Yeah, I'm thinking that Landar needs to have a weapon skill. He needs to have been trained in something.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it should be a broadsword, but at the end of the day, that's not up to us. You'd have to roll another 9 to get the broadsword proficiency.
Oh, here we go, another roll. Will it be a third 9 in a row?
Oh, not quite, no.
No, it's a 6 though. That means I'm proficient in the axe.
And that's pretty good, actually, because the only weapon you start with is an axe.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, so you're already going to be equipped with the weapon you're proficient in, so that's great, actually.
Awesome. Just going to log that on my action chart. Over to you, Al.
Okay, I'm thinking that, as we said, Torring would be more of a magic user, and there's probably 2 disciplines that kind of lend themselves to the magic kind of theme, and I'd say it's Mind Blast and Healing. Obviously, yes, you have Mind Shield as well, so maybe 3. And I'd probably want to choose them all. But for our survival, it's probably best if I choose healing. So I'm going to go for that.
That makes perfect sense to me. All right, time to pick my second skill. Now, from the little bit of research we've done, we know that our parents, I don't know how to pronounce this, whether it's Hoover or Hauver, our mother and our father Hrosk died when we were young. So because we're tweaking this slightly in order to have the two brothers, and I'm the older one, I'm going to say that, you know, father used to take me hunting with him. You were probably too young when he passed away. So I'm going to pick as my second Kai discipline, hunting.
Sounds good. So free meals for everyone.
Frees up some inventory space as well in our backpacks. Back over to you, Al.
Okay, as I'm only choosing two, this is the last one for me, and this is where it's going to get tricky, because I'd very much like the Mind Blast one, but also the Sixth Sense one is calling to me. Now, does the Sixth Sense one play to my character, you'd say?
Perhaps you're more intuitive than I am, and that's why you're braver and brusher.
Yes, I can. Perhaps I'm not as naive, even though you're the oldest one. Perhaps you're a bit more gullible in that sense, or more trusting of people. And I perhaps always, you know, doubt a situation and kind of study things before. Even though I'm brash and jump to action, I still kind of feel when something's wrong. I don't know. Or perhaps sticking to the magic side of things and choosing Mind Blast or Mind Shield.
I mean, you are quite squishy. Minimum hit points.
Yes, but it would be useful also to have that kind of sixth sense where you can tell the true purpose of a stranger or an object. I think my character is more of the brother with a plan kind of thing, and I think the sixth sense would suit him, so I'm going to go with that, sixth sense.
On to our fifth and final Kai discipline. I think there's only one really here that if I'm staying true to the personality I've written up for Lando, and it fits quite well with the hunting, and that is the tracking, which will enable us to make the correct choice of path in the wild, or to discover a person or object in a town or city, and to read the secrets and footprints or tracks. So I might not always have a plan, but perhaps Landar is a little more street smart. So he can't really read into people's true purposes, but he knows his way around the wild, he knows his way around a town, where to go, how to track an animal, how to track an enemy. Yeah, I'm going to go with tracking.
Sounds good.
So there you have it. As a recap, Al has healing, which allows him to restore one endurance point each for every section we go through that does not have combat, and sixth sense. And Landar has a +2 combat skill when he's using an axe. He can hunt, so there's no need for meals when instructed to eat, and he can also track. So on to equipment now, and this part of the game mechanics. The way that we obtain equipment before each adventure varies greatly from book to book, and so really we're going to need to wait and see what equipment is made available to us as we delve into this first book, The Flight from the Dark. Al sort of alluded to before that there's a limit as to what we can carry. In terms of weapons, the maximum number that we can carry is 2, that's 2 each. We have a backpack each as well, but space is limited, and that means we can only keep a maximum of 8 articles, which includes meals, at any one time. There's also special items, these are not carried in the backpack, and this handy guide tells us that when we discover a special item, we'll be told how to carry it within the book. We also have a belt pouch, which is for carrying gold crowns, which is the currency of this world, and it can hold a maximum of 50 crowns. Food is referred to as meals, and each meal counts as 1 item. So that is part of the maximum number of 8 items we can take. Going back to weapons momentarily, as you can imagine, weapons aid our characters in combat, but it's important to note that if we enter combat with no weapons, we need to deduct 4 points from our combat skill, and we have to fight with our bare hands. That's going to be quite funny, because Torin seems to be the fightier of the two, the better with his fists. This handy little guide also mentions that the new collector's editions of the game books clarify that whilst we can carry up to 2 weapons, we're only allowed to use 1 of those at any point in a combat.
Like with every good fantasy game, you also have healing potions in this adventure, They would restore 4 endurance points to our total when swallowed after combat. It cannot be used immediately prior to combat, though. There is only enough for one dose. If we discover any other potions during the adventure, we will be told of their effect. They are backpack items, so they will be part of the 8 items allowed that we have for each backpack. And I'd like to take a moment to plug in our Buy Me a Coffee website here. You can visit it by going to i2td.com and finding the link. And there you can buy us a potion, pretty much. And as we've done in previous campaigns, if you donate a potion there, it will reflect in the story. Therefore, us helping us in this campaign and being part of the stories we tell. So feel free to wander into there and give us a little donation.
We're now at the final part of this episode 0, where we're going to explain the rules for combat. As you can imagine, in every good RPG or fantasy-based adventure, there will no doubt be occasions where we have to fight an enemy. Their combat skill endurance points will be given to us in the text. Goes without saying that the aim is to kill the enemy by reducing the endurance points to 0, whilst losing as few points as possible. So on our action chart, there's a handy little sort of combat tracker. I was going to say initiative tracker, but initiative doesn't exist in this system. So we'll just reflect the enemy's endurance points and combat skill. And then there's a little ratio that we need to work out. And to do this, we need to add any extra points that we've gained through our Kai disciplines to our combat skill total, and also add any bonuses conferred by any special items we find along the way. We then need to subtract the combat skill of our enemy from this total, and the result is our combat ratio. We then enter this on the chart. So by way of example, this handy little guide provides us with this scenario, where let's say we've got a combat skill of 15 and we're ambushed by a winged devil, whose combat skill is 20. The lone wolf in this example has the Kai discipline of Mind Blast, so he adds 2 to his combat skill, giving him a total of 17. To get that combat ratio, you basically subtract the enemies from the lone wolf, so in this case it's 17 minus 20, which gives us a minus 3. So we note minus 3 on our action chart. So once we have that combat ratio, we pick a number from the interactive random number table, kindly provided by Project Aeon. And then we turn to the combat results table, which again is kindly provided by Project Aeon for this purpose. And basically it's a chart that shows all the different ratio numbers possible. We cross-reference our combat ratio with the number that we've picked, or rather that the random generator has picked for us. And that will give us the number of endurance points lost by both the lone wolf and his enemy. So that's quite an interesting system. It means that every time there's an attack, or rather, every round of battle, both parties take a hit there. So it's not like D&D or Pathfinder or any of those other TTRPGs where you're taking turns at hitting each other.
As a reminder, we have doubled the enemy's endurance points, and we will be taking it in turns to attack it using our combat skill and doing all this ratio and minusing and all this that Nick just explained. So we are hoping that by doubling the endurance points of the enemy will kind of level the playing field a bit.
That's correct. So basically we'll just keep repeating the random rolls, for want of a better word, on that chart until either we are defeated or the monster is defeated. It's quite simple.
So during our adventure we would also have the opportunity to evade combat.
Like the good old JRPGs of yore.
Yeah.
Where you can run.
That's right. Even if we are already engaged in a round, we can decide to evade. We would calculate the combat for that round in the usual manner. All points lost by the enemy as a result of the round are ignored, but we would make our escape.
Tactical retreats then.
The downside to that is that we would lose the endurance points during that round. But then that is a risk of running away. Now we may only evade if the actual text of the particular section allows us to. It's not whenever we want to.
Oh, so maybe not as tactical as I had in mind. So that's the combat system. We've explained the equipment system. We've picked our Kai disciplines. We've rolled our scores. So there's 10 levels of Kai training. Typically in the book, you would begin as an initiate because you get 1 level for every discipline you've mastered. But because we have split them between us, Al will be starting as an intuit, which is a level 2. and I will be starting as a Doan, which is level 3, and basically goes from novice at level 1 right the way through to master.
We would technically be between us and initiate.
Yeah. Beyond the 10 basic skills of the Kai Master await the secrets of the higher Kai disciplines, or the Magna Kai, which is the next series in this collection of books, and hopefully we will survive to one day play and continue the adventures of Landar and Torin. So now with the rules explained and our character sheets prepared, let's delve into the start of a new campaign. The Lone Wolves, Flight from the Dark.
In the northern land of Summerland, it has been the custom for many centuries to send the children of the warrior lords to the monastery of Kai. There, they are taught the skills and disciplines of their noble fathers. The Kai monks are masters of their art, and the children in the charge love and respect them in spite of the hardships of the training. For one day, when they have finally learned the secret skills of the Kai, they will return home, equipped in mind and body to defend themselves against the constant threat of war from the Dark Lords of the West.
In olden times, during the age of the Black Moon, the Dark Lords waged war on Summerland. The conflict was a long and bitter trial of strength that ended in victory for the Summerlending at the Great Battle of the Machin Gorge. King Ulnar and the allies of the Durinor broke the Darkland armies at the pass of Moytura and forced them back into the bottomless abyss of Machin Gorge. Vashna, mightiest of the Dark Lords, was slain upon the sword of King Ulnar, called the Summersword, the Sword of the Sun. Since that age, the Dark Lords have vowed vengeance upon Summerland and the House of Ulnar. Now it is the morning of the Feast of Firmarn, when all of the Kai Lords are present at the monastery for its celebrations.
On this fateful morning, the brothers, Landar and Torring, have been sent to collect firewood in the forest as a punishment for their inattention in class.
I can't believe you got us into trouble again, Torin.
Come on, Landar, that's not fair. You know I hate those boring lessons. Anyway, you weren't doing too good either if you got kicked out yourself.
I was kicked out trying to get you to shut up.
Well, anyway, we are here now, so let's just make the most of it. Get cutting.
We'll be of help if you put your back into it and cut some wood yourself.
Well, you're the strong one, Landar.
I may have brawn, but don't you have brains? Surely there's a way of harvesting more wood than this.
Now that you mention it.
Do you have any way of using your magic?
No, not really. I've just been learning healing. Not really handy now, is it? What now? Don't tell me it's gonna rain too.
What do you mean, Torin?
It's getting dark. Look at the sun.
Suddenly, a great black cloud comes from out of the western skies. So many are the numbers of the black-winged beasts that fill the sky that the sun is completely hidden. The Dark Lords, ancient enemy of the Summerlending, are attacking. War has begun. To the brothers' horror, a vast cloud of black leathery creatures swoop down and engulf the monastery.
Landar, let's go! They're attacking! We need to save our friends, our family! We need to save the Kai Lords!
Hold your horses! It's dangerous! I'm not gonna lose another brother!
War halters! We need to go now! Follow me!
And I start running, dashing towards the monastery.
Before you start running, I put a hand on your shoulder, trying to hold you back.
Let go of me, Landar! We need to save them!
I can't lose another brother!
You're not gonna lose me! Come with me! Help me! We need to save them!
I fear it might be too late. They've engulfed the entire monastery.
No, Landar! No, not again, Landar! We can't lose everything we love, everything we have!
Dropping the wood and wrestling from Landar's grip, Torring, the younger brother, races to the battle that has already begun.
Torin! In the unnatural dark, Torin has stumbled and strikes his head on a low tree branch. As he loses consciousness, the last thing he sees in the poor light is the walls of the monastery crashing to the ground. Torin! Torin, wake up! Torin! Torin! Torin!
Many hours pass before Torin awakens. With tears in their eyes, they now survey the scene of destruction.
Landar! Why did you stop me?
You almost killed yourself, Torin. You see, I knew something bad would happen. At least we're safe.
We could have helped them. We could have helped them, Lander.
Well, you run off and you knocked yourself out. What help were we then?
Bested by a tree, damn it.
You see, you can't always be so brash, Torin. There's danger out there.
And you can't always be so cowardly, Lander. Sometimes you need to step up.
I step up when you're in trouble. That's what I'm here for, to keep you safe. I'm not losing another brother.
The brothers now raise their faces to the now clear sky and swear vengeance on the Dark Lords for the massacre of the Kai warriors. With a sudden flash now of realization that they know what they must do, they must set off on a perilous journey to the capital city and warn the king of the terrible threat that now faces his people. For Landar and Torin are now the last of the Kai. They are the Lone Wolves.
And that's where we're going to call it an episode.
Oh my, this adventure doesn't mess around.
Oof. Let's see where it goes.
So there you have it. That's episode 0 of our brand new campaign, Joe Devers, The Lone Wolf, as we've started book 1 of the Kai series, Flight from the Dark. Hope you've enjoyed listening to how we've created the characters, what the rule mechanics and game system is all about.
And also the little taster of how we intend to run the game itself.
Hopefully we will do justice to the loved series that is The Lone Wolf. Make sure you tune in next week to hear the first episode proper as we commence this new campaign and get to learn a bit more about our characters.
As we mentioned in this episode, if you would like to take part in the games we play and the stories we tell, you can always help us out by donating a potion. In our Buy Me a Coffee page, head on over to i2td.com to follow all the links there.
Whilst you're on Buy Me a Coffee, don't forget that you can join one of our membership tiers where you get access to a variety of goodies, which includes our Into the Studio bonus episodes. These are little reflections on the sessions that we've just played, and we're going to be heading over into the studio after this episode concludes to talk a little bit about this process that we've gone through today, talk about trying to find our character voices, those first role plays, and what we think might be in store for Torin and Landar. Now, if you can't subscribe or you don't want to donate, but you still want to help the podcast, you can surely do so by rating our episodes, by liking the videos on YouTube, liking on Twitter, retweeting, sharing, all that good stuff, even just sharing the name of I2TD or Into the Dungeon with your friends, families, and loved ones. If there's anyone that you think would enjoy what we do, pass on our links and get them listening in.
And now, back by popular demand, it's the end of the episode club.
The last one standing.
And as you know from the previous campaign here, we give you a little password, which you would then in turn use in a comment section anywhere you can find us. Then we will decide who is El Quijomas Brada, the winner, the person that makes us laugh, cry, whatever we feel at the moment. Then we will decide a winner based on which comment we like the most, and the person will become El Quijomas Brada. We will post your comment on a Discord server that we have, so join that if you wish to, for prosperity. So make sure to check it out. Do you have a password for us today, Nick?
Of course we do. What do you think this is? This is our 87th episode now, although we haven't been doing The Last One Standing for 87 episodes, but we've been doing this for a while, and today's password is, oh brother.
Well, there you go. Use that in a comment section, and we'll decide the winner.
You don't want to know why?
Because we're brothers, right? Because we're wolves.
Because we're brothers, and because the way that the adventure's already started, it's like, oh bother. Oh brother.
Oh brother. Oh damn. Well, I rolled my first 0.
Yeah, first 0 out of the way. I rolled 2 9s. That's max.
Yeah, that's typical of you.
And we're using the exact same
roller and everything. Yeah,
generator. So
yeah, you're sucking all the good luck out of it. Anyway, I think that's it for today. Hope you've enjoyed, and hope you stick around for the next coming episodes. And as always, we'll catch you next time as we delve
into the dungeon.
Well, we will be. Pues muy bien, brother. Yo encima estoy medio tocado hoy. And the children in the charge, love.
¿Qué ya, compa? Los nombres, tío.
Maitura, que la tiene dura.
¿Qué dice, tío? You're not a failure.
Come on, Phil.
Screw you guys, I'm going home. Fuck you, Lando.
Oh, that's a...
Fuck you, Lando. Stop being a suck up. All right, something like this. Fuck it, let's go. Bested by a tree, damn it.
This does not bode well for our adventure.